get the facts straight, but it would be helpful to understand the facts, too. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
You are now listening to Key Life, where the Bible becomes relevant to your daily life. I'm Mike Kellogg, and here is our teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Joshua, and I'm going to end with our study in Joshua today. We're going through the entire Older Testament, and looking at verses in the book of Joshua. We've done all the spade work. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about who wrote it and when it was written and the central themes and things like that. And what I'm doing with each book of the Bible of the Old Testament is that I'm doing that. I'm making it so when you read the book, you'll be able to understand it better and to like it better. And then I'm taking some time with each of the books of the Older Testament to spend some time with some of my favorite verses. Now, if you were listening last week, we took a big chunk, chapters 15 to 19, and I suggested that that is actual history. It's not fiction, because things are so detailed there. This is not the work of fiction. C.S. Lewis said, I'm a fiction writer, and I've written a lot of fiction, and I know what fiction is, and the Bible is not fiction. Well, he had a very good point. And there is no better place in the Bible where that is any better illustrated than it is in the historical sections of the division of the land in the book of Joshua. If you were a fiction writer, you certainly wouldn't spend that much time, certainly would you, in writing 4 or 5 chapters that nobody would even care about. But this is history. And we said a lot of things about history. But I want to show you something else. And if you have your Bible, turn it over to Joshua 23, the 23rd chapter. I want you to note, along this line, the true, albeit secret, fabric of history. Now look at Joshua 23:4. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Great Sea in the west. Then, if you've got a Bible there, drop down to the 9th verse. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. And so, in a sense, you see in the 4th verse what would be perceived by anyone who took the time to write history, battles between Israel. On the 9th verse, you see what was really going on. There's a difference, dear friend, between facts and the interpretation of the facts. And in regard to historical facts, the Bible is the proper instrument of interpretation. If that's true, and it is, unless you're an atheistic existentialist, the business of the Christian is not only to know the facts about life, about world, about the history of the world, but to go beyond those facts to a proper interpretation of the facts. One of my favorite writers was Louis Grizzard. When he was alive, he wrote some wonderful books that are just plain funny. He used to write for the Atlanta Constitution, and he's a Southern comic, and some of the things he said were just awfully funny. One time he was speaking at a banquet at the Marriott Hotel, and they had a dish at this banquet called Chicken Marriott, and it was boneless chicken. He said he got to wondering where they grew those chickens, and he found a farm in Vermont where these boneless chickens are grown. He said it was really pitiful to see these chickens without bones trying to walk around. He had the facts right. He had eaten chicken without bones. He just didn't understand. Now, the facts are there, but the interpretation of the facts were spurious. Same way with your life and with history. You can look back over history and see a lot of facts. For instance, if you had been the court historian during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar of the Neo-Babylonian Empire, you would have been impressed that his military prowess was awesome. You would have been impressed by him as a military leader against Egypt and Nineveh. And Then he was recalled at the death of his father to become the king. That would be a part of the facts. You would have, had you been a court historian, been impressed with his conquering of the Jews in 587 B.C. Then you would have been impressed as he did it again in 586 B.C. You would have watched the Jews being exiled to Babylon. You would have written on another battle won and another country conquered. I mean, if you've been a court historian, those are all the facts, and they are true facts. But if you could see it from God's perspective, which you can, by the way, in the Bible, you would see that that little country was God's country, peopled by God's people who had been disobedient. And in their disobedience had incurred the wrath of God. What was happening when you see the fabric of history from the right side is a sovereign God acting in judgment and in love, albeit tough love, to his people. And, you know, I could think of a thousand illustrations when we start talking about that, but I don't have time, so I'm simply not going to do that. Now, let me show you something else, and I've just got to keep moving here. Look at, if you've got your Bible, look at verses 1b through 2 in Joshua 23. It says, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said, I'm old, well advanced in years. And I want you to note, if you will, the grace with which Joshua accepts old age. One of the very dangerous things about our society is the worship of youth. Now, I used to say that when I was young. I find it particularly irritating now that I'm old. I find myself really cringing sometimes with the way that the demographic that is the only important demographic is one of youth. There was a time when I worked to look older. Now I work to look younger. One time before her death, I had lunch with Corrie Ten Boom. By the way, I had lunch in her hotel room with her, but nobody talked. The reason she had lunch there is because she was very old, and she needed to rest, and she just stayed on the bed and ate her lunch, and we sat and we talked. She was talking about a movie star, and she said some pretty bad things about him. I was surprised at how she could have said those things to him. If you remember Corrie Ten Boom in Hiding Place, she was, I mean, if you look up grandmother in the dictionary, you'll find Corrie's picture there. You know what she said? She said, Stefan, that's what she called me. When you're an old lady the way I am, you can say anything to anybody anytime you want. And I thought, how wonderful. That's good. I like that. She was not saying it is a horrible thing to be old. She was laughing about it. She was accepting it. She was dealing with it. On Hill Street Blues, you maybe remember that television program of a number of years ago. I don't remember his name. But there was a sergeant who had just gone to the doctor and had checked out of the hospital without permission. He was talking to one of the other guys, and he asked him what the doctor had said, and the sergeant hemmed and hawed, and finally he said, he told me to take it easy. There was some other conversation, but when he was leaving, he said to the other cop, I'm a young man in an old man's body, and it really stinks. Well, I'm getting so... I can understand that. A nurse who took care of C.S. Lewis said this, he was the best patient I ever had. He accepted his infirmity as a part of growing old. Somebody said growing old isn't for sissies, but I want you to know there is a grace that God gives and a wisdom that's good. Let me recommend a great book to you. It's a book of letters C.S. Lewis wrote to an American lady he never met. Over the years, he sent her money and he offered advice. We don't even know who she was. But it says something so incredibly winsome and good about C.S. Lewis. They grew old together, never met, but they grew old together by correspondence. And the book is called Letters to an American Lady, and it's a gem, and you can get it at a good Christian bookstore. If they don't have it, go to a good one. Let me read to you. One of those letters. It was a time of physical illness for both the lady and also for Lewis. And this is what Lewis writes. Dear Mary, and that wasn't her name. Dear Mary, This is terrible news. The doctor who refused to come would, I think, be liable to criminal prosecution in this country. Pain is terrible, but surely you need not have fear as well. Can you not see death as the friend and deliverer? It means stripping off that body which is tormenting you, like taking off a hair shirt or getting out of a dungeon. What is there to be afraid of? You have long attempted, and none of us does more, a Christian life. Your sins are confessed. You're forgiven. Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave it without regret? There are better things ahead than any we have behind. Remember, though, we struggle against things because we're afraid of them. It's often the other way around. We get afraid because we struggle. Are you struggling? Resisting? Don't you think our Lord says to you, peace, child, peace, relax. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Let go. I will catch you. Do you trust me so little? Growing old gracefully, and C.S. Lewis did because he was going through his own stuff at that time, is a wonderful gift that those of us who are getting older offer to those who are still quite young. And I might say, quite irritating. You think about that. I'm in. Listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. This is how it works. When you let me know that you'd like to be a part of it, and you can do that by calling 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Or you can write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. But don't forget to give us your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes. Then we put you in a computer. I know, I hate that too, but we couldn't do it if we didn't do that. And then every few weeks you automatically get a tape of my teaching. And if you don't like the teaching, you can record music over it because it's free and you can't beat the deal. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. But these are tapes of my teaching, and you continue as long as you want them every few weeks, as long as funds last and as long as we have supply. And when I say they're free, I honestly mean that. But if you could help us financially, I honestly mean that, too. I would accept it and rejoice, maybe even dance, if you did. But I'll tell you what I will do. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching as my thank you dealing with temptation. Gotta go. When you write or call, give us the call letters of this station. And Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.